glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
7:32 Illinois time. Welcome to Mark and Friends here on this Friday, the 12th of August. Mark is off doing some other work today. I'm Tim Nelson over from Springfield, the Champaign Studios at Marketplace Mall. Pastor Jason Schiffo is here. And today, here's the question. How do we raise kids who love the Lord?
And I think that's a question on everybody's mind right now because, or at least I think it should be, because when we talk about percentages in church and we talk about sizes of churches and we talk about all that kind of stuff, we see that there is a diminishing number of young people in the church. Can everybody who's in our studio audience agree with that? Can we all agree that when we go to church, we go, we need a few more young faces. Where are all these young faces?
Amen.
Yeah. So what do you think are some of the reasons why we don't see that? What are some of the things that you think might be causing us to not see as many young folks and young faces and young followers of Jesus in the church?
Well, I tell you what, there's just too much other activities for children these days, and the church is always put on the back burner. I think those were the biggest things. The other thing is the fact that the parents have to demonstrate to the kids every day, that they follow the Lord.
Boy, that's a really hard thing to do if you're a parent, right?
Amen.
Because I think if I lose count usually, so by the time I get to about 24 times that I've screwed up during the day, I just stop counting. And my kids get a front row seat for all of it. Amen. They get to watch every bit of it. And my parents reminded me at one point that the record button is always on. So even though they're not going, hey, Dad, up here they are. In fact, it was an interesting story that happened a number of years ago with my son. We were sitting at the table and we were all having dinner and we were talking about sin. And we were just having usually we have some conversation at the table. Sometimes it's about the Bible, sometimes it's about music. We were talking about sin. And my son, who I think is 16 now, and at the time he was around 8 or 9, he looks at me and he goes, "Hey, Dad, you know, you're a sinner." And I said, "Yeah, I know. That's what we're talking about." And then I continued the conversation and he goes, no, "You're a sinner." And I go, "Yeah, I got it. I'm tracking with you." And then I kept pushing on with the conversation. He goes, "Dad, did you hear me? You're a sinner." And I was like, "Can you please stop talking about this? Because I know that. I don't need you to tell me that." But he has the best seat in the house to know that that's true. He sees my short temper at times. He sees my sometimes what might appear to him to be without explanation, some hypocrisy, because he sees me saying one thing and doing another. Maybe he doesn't see the whole picture. He sees his mom and I argue at times and not get along. He sees me not display forgiveness all the time because sometimes I'm slower to forgive than I really would like to be. I mean, I'm just like everybody else. So that was a couple of, how about the rest of you guys? Any other reasons why you think there are not as many young folks in the church?
Well, I agree about all the activities. We feel we have to have, or the parents today, in all kinds of activities in the school. There was a time when there were no school activities on a Wednesday because church was on Wednesday night, and there were no activities on Sunday, or at least Sunday morning, so you could go to church. So I know when our kids were young, that started edging away. And even the pastor's kids were involved in soccer. The church I went to in Farmer City, and the kids went off to soccer on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And it's very sad that we did not stand up to the school board and said, "You can't do this."
Hmm. Okay. Anybody else? Any other thoughts on why aren't the young people in the church?
I wonder if, on maybe a different side of that, we can have all the activities for them, and even if there aren't other activities that they're interested in going to outside of the church, I wonder if we're just not, the spiritual element of actually praying that God would would lead the younger people here.
That's true.
You know, sometimes I know I do. I get thinking in maybe a business mindset or an American marketing mindset, and I forget that spiritual element. How much time have I spent talking to God about this? Mm-hmm. That's bad on me, you know.
Yeah, and so I want to flip it a little bit. I'm gonna push some buttons here because that's generally what I tend to do. Because I think we need to think not just. And I thought you guys all brought up some great points, but there's also something else here I think that's missing. What is the most important thing in people's lives? Now, I know that you're going to say Jesus, because when Christians gather together, we always say Jesus, we always say God. But next to Jesus and God, what are the most important things that we have?
I say in a family, our children are the most important.
Yeah, our children are, yep. And I love that you brought up family, because I think the answer to that is relationships. I think that relationships, a church really is, I mean, a church gathers together to worship God. But at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, a church is a group of people who are tied up, who are bound together by Jesus and brought into relationship with one another. And so relationships are the most important thing to us. And I would argue that relationships are actually the most important things to kids. You know, when I was growing up, I still remember those teachers who spent a considerable amount of time not just teaching me how to do math, but asking how I was and seeing what was going on in my life and trying to help me become a better man as I was growing up. And so relationships are super important. Now you're going, wait a second, you asked us about kids, you asked us why kids aren't in church, and now you're talking about relationships. How does all that come together? Well, our church is currently in a transition period. The guy who is handling our youth ministry, he's moved on to go and do different things. And in this moment of transition, I was writing last week our newsletter, and I put in our newsletter, I said, we need some volunteers in the interim to help with student ministry. Mm-hmm. And then I hit the backspace button. Because when I'm asking for volunteers, what I'm saying is the church needs this. And I hit the backspace button, and then I typed, as the body of Christ, what we ought to be doing, from the oldest to the youngest, is gathering together in relationship and building one another up. When the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 that we don't forsake gathering together and stirring one another up towards love and good works, it doesn't list an age. And what kids, I think, need most, which is actually the most absent in church, in student ministry, is older folks who have walked with Jesus for a long time who can be in relationship with them and share wisdom, share love, let them know that they matter. Now, I'm going to poke the bear a little bit. When I get around folks who are of the age bracket that I'm talking about, what they tend to do is complain about young people. And one of the things, I was with a gentleman a couple weeks ago, and we were having coffee, and he's like, oh, these young kids. And I said, man, I said, let me tell you what, I know the answer to what your frustrations are. And he said, what is it? Tell me. I mean, he wanted it. And I said, you. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, you. I said, when's your youth ministry? He said, oh, it's on Thursday nights. I said, are you going to show up? Heck no. He goes, I can't keep up with those kids. I can't. Those kids are crazy. I said, you know what? I bet you were crazy too. And maybe they need a little bit of your wisdom to help them not be crazy. And so I think one of the things that's missing and why kids aren't in the church is because there's become a disconnect with the generation that needs to pour into them, needs to be in relationship with them, needs to disciple them and them. They need godly wisdom. And I believe this wholeheartedly. We can blame the parents, but I believe it takes a village. Yeah. And my children benefit the most when people who are not me come around them. Mm-hmm. Who watched, when you were younger, watched Charlie Brown cartoons? Mm-hmm. Yeah, me? I'm the teacher. Wah, 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 wah. I'm always talking at my house. And my kids hear me all the time. It was funny. I always have these little stories, but my son... He went to go get math tutoring from a gentleman in our church. And I'm always telling my son, you need to be organized. You need to get your stuff together. You need to do this. I'm telling him all these things all the time. And he's always like, wah, 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 wah. Yeah, Dad, I know, I know. He comes back from getting tutored and he's like, Dad, you'll never guess what Mr. Blitzinger told me. I'm like, what? he said, if I would just get a little more organized. And I said, that's the same thing I've been saying. But the interesting thing is that he heard that differently from that other older gentleman. And that other older gentleman was able to speak into his heart in a way that I was not able to. And so what did my son need most in that moment? Not me. He needed that other older gentleman to speak into his life. And that's why I think we're missing seeing young people in the church, because what they hear is they hear we're a problem, we're a frustration, we're a trouble, we're an irritation, why can't we just do this, that, and the other? And they go, well, if we can't conform to whatever this is that they want us to be, then we'll just go somewhere else. So while I agree that there are other activities that might pull kids away, my daughter can go to all those different activities, but she goes to youth group because she loves the relationships that she has there. She loves those older ladies, and they are older ladies. Miss Theobald, she's in her 60s. In fact, my daughter always says, Miss Theobald, you want to pick me up? We'll go together. And so she wants to get in the car and drive with Miss Theobald. Why? Because then they listen to music. They talk for a few minutes before they get there. She loves that. And so I think one of the things that's missing from those things is that why don't we have those older, wiser teachers coming to youth group? Look, I get it. Kids are hard and they're difficult. I do youth group too now, and I'm like out of my league in some things. But in other places, I'm not. So Deuteronomy 6 is called, the heading in my Bible says, the greatest command. But it says this in verse 2. We'll actually begin in verse 1. This is the command, the statutes and ordinance that the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you. This is Moses speaking, so that you may follow them in the land that you're about to enter and possess. So they're going to come into the promised land. They're going to come into the fullness of God's promise. Let's think about that. Let's not think about it as geographical, physical land. They're going to come into the fullness of God's promise. And in the fullness of God's promise, what does it say? Do this, do what? The statutes and commands. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all his statutes and commands that I'm giving you, your son, and your grandson, so that you may have a long life. Right here in Deuteronomy, they give us this lineage of father and son and grandson going three generations. So there's three generations of what God has been doing in their lives and what God has been teaching them being passed down. Now, I believe with all my heart that probably happens in the home. You know, that's my hope, is that grandparents and parents and kids, that's happening in the home. But the church is supposed to be a family.
That's right.
And the church is supposed to be where fathers and sons and grandsons are all gathered together. And these things that the Lord has been doing has been passed down. But how many of you have taken the opportunity to share your testimony of what Jesus has done in your life, maybe even just recently, with somebody younger recently? Say in the last month or so. Somebody who's in their teens.
I think it's interesting that this is the topic today. I just sat this morning to write a letter to my grandson and telling him about my faith and what I desire for him. Mm-hmm. Because in Christ, you really figure out who you are. Mm-hmm. Don't know that until you're in him. And I so desire that for him.
Yeah. So what I run into a lot is folks would say, well, how do I talk to these young kids? I'm not cool. I'm just an old, you know, I'm just an old guy or an old, how do I talk to these kids? Listen, you don't have to be cool. You have money and a car. And listen, that car can go to McDonald's and that money can buy a quarter pounder. And I have yet to meet a teenager when you say, hey, you want to go get a quarter pounder with cheese? They go, no. They usually go, can I get fries too? You bet. If I have your attention, you can get fried. You can even get a shake if I have your attention.
Yep.
You mentioned food and the kind of food they like. I mean, don't invite them out for a salad because they might be like, what? But if you invite them out for a burger, some fries, you got a car, you can go and grab them and take them over there. They'll go with you. So I think that we got to get over that hurdle where we think, well, I got to be cool. No, you don't have to be cool. And listen, it's going to count for something that you actually want to spend time with them. Now, why are we supposed to do this? Why are we supposed to do this? Well, we read in God's Word that it says that, but a little farther, we have some of the most important words that God speaks in the Old Testament. And he says, these are the words that I'm giving you today that are to be on your heart. So it means that these words are to be on the deepest part of you, of who you are. By the way, in this culture, the heart was the center seat of where you worshiped God from. So this is supposed to come from the wellspring of where you worship from. These words are to be upon your heart. Repeat them to your children. By the way, the children here is plural, and that doesn't mean you have a lot of children. That means the children, all of them that you encounter. Repeat them to the children. Talk about them when you sit down in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So when do you think you're supposed to talk about it?
At all times.
At all times. When you wake up in the morning. So listen, I love this passage because listen, when you wake up in the morning, that might be when you're a little crabby, pre-coffee. When you walk along the road, when you might tend to be in a hurry.
I was going to say one thing, too.
Yeah.
When you should always give God the glory for whatever you're doing. Thank the Lord for just the simple things throughout the day. When you're talking with someone else, just thank him for what the Lord has done. The important thing is to bring the name of the Lord in front of them.
Right. And not only that, but to live that out. And so the Lord would command us to reach out into the lives of children. Why? Well, we also learn in the Bible that the generation that's being spoken to in Deuteronomy has forgotten about the Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. They've forgotten about the Lord. The reason that it's teach your statutes and your commands to your children and your grandchildren, all that, is because there's a generation of kids who came out of the wilderness who are like, who is the Lord? Like, really? I mean, what's he all about? Mm-hmm. And listen, we're not anywhere different today. We have the same issues and problems today, don't we? Mm-hmm. And the problem is that we're not getting into the lives of these kids and talking about it when we lie down, when we get up, when we walk along the road, wherever we are. We're not doing what the scripture says here, binding them as a sign on our hands and a symbol on our forehead, meaning that we bear the very marks of being those who follow God. And that it's on the doorposts of our house and on the gates of our city, that this is a place that worships God. You come into our house, and we're not going to be like, I don't know, he doesn't worship God. Maybe we won't pray for dinner. I mean, we're going to do the same thing we always do. We're going to give God all the glory in this house as a testimony to who God is, and we're going to invite people of all ages in here to do this. See, I think that we've gotten student ministry and kind of the way we deal with teenagers backwards, because we've turned the church into a business or a gathering rather than a family.
We've segregated a lot, haven't
yeah.
we? And for some good reasons, but do you think some churches now, have you seen or talked to other pastors to where the churches that maybe do have some of the younger people there, where they're trying to concentrate on getting the multi-generational thing going a little more?
It's all about relationship. Everywhere where I've seen it working, it's all about relationship.
Within the church.
Yep, and it's all about... And this is, the Bible is very clear. We don't even have time to go into all of it. The Bible is mm-hmm. very clear about these spiritual fathers and these spiritual mothers who pour into the life. Titus talks about that, you know, that the older women teach the younger women, the older men teach the younger men. And so the Bible continually calls for these elders. I mean, the Bible doesn't know retirement, at least not on a spiritual level. The Bible says, listen, you don't retire from following Jesus. You follow him more vibrantly, and you share all of those things. Oh, we'll close with this. How many of you have probably seen a young person, or at least encountered at some point along your journey, a young person who messed up like you did? Did something that you did. And you looked at that, and you go, oh, man, back in the 70s I did that.
Yes.
Listen. What would have happened if we would have come along those young people and we would have said, hey, you know what? Before you hit that pothole in the road, back in the 70s, I made this mistake. And I want to walk alongside you so that I don't have to find you in the ditch like somebody found me. And I want to do it because Christ's love compels me to love you and to invite you into this journey of loving God and loving others with me.
We've got to be vulnerable. We've got to allow ourselves
yeah.
to not be seen as maybe as good as what we want to be seen.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Well, and diminishes. Listen, some of the funnest people in my life are older people. Mm. They really are. They really are. And so they dispel that whole myth of like, you know, these folks are old and they probably just watch game shows, you know, whatever. But, I mean, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. And so, again, I think those young people, if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, but how will I interact with one of these young people? How, I'm not cool enough. Listen, you got a car and you got money. Invite them out for a little McDonald's, a little Arby's. Take them, say, hey, you want some ice cream? Kids love ice cream. Listen, there are a multitude of ways. We've got to get over some of those stereotypes and get into the lives of these kids. And not because the church needs you to do it, but because God says you ought to do it. He commands it in his word that we're supposed to be this big family that gathers together and stirs one another up and builds one another up no matter what age you are.
Well, that's good.
I was wondering what age is talked about when you do talk about children. You get to the passage, I'm not sure where it is, but Jesus says, my children, I am with you only a little while longer.
Yeah, he's talking to adults there.
Yeah.
You know, because we're all kind of a little bit like children. I've thrown some of the best temper tantrums in my 50s. Unfortunately.
Well, Ron and Sharon, Elmer and Gail and Alaric, thank you for being here today as part of the studio audience and all the input. We appreciate that. And Pastor Jason, as always, thank you for making Friday special on Mark and Friends in the Champaign Marketplace Mall Studios. I'm Tim Nelson. Mark will be back, Lord willing, on Monday with more of Mark and Friends at 7:32 a.m. and 7:32 p.m. Illinois time. You can also hear a rebroadcast of today's program at 7:32 tonight, and it's always available here, or will be here shortly, online at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org.